That's so good to us. So good to hear out of all the bank shows. Ralph's going to do the fashion Ricky Blogger. And I'll say this, we go with 30,000 right now. They'll tell you that the crime rate's going down. You know, that's not true, amen. We know that there's, they keep building prisons and jails and centers and all these things, and they keep getting filled up and start building more. If the crime rate was going down, you'd think they'd be shutting some of them down, amen. But, we know that's not true, amen. And, but it is good to be here this morning. And, thank God for my wife, amen. She's a blessing. We've been married now 3 years last week, amen. No, this week. It was Wednesday, amen. I guess that's kind of last week how you look at the weeks, amen. So I still got it right, amen. And we've been married 3 years now, and she's my better half, amen. And she has to put up with me, so pray for her, amen. But we've been married now. We've only been in one argument since we've been married. Ain't that a blessing? That's wonderful. Only problem is, started when it said I do. It's one long. Yeah. But it's good to be here. Hey, it ain't a sin to grin. I sure am glad we can come into the house of God and just have a good time. I'm telling you, there's no place I'd rather be this morning than the house of God. Man, Tisa speaking within the first 5 years of the whole going into a harsh race, there's a 7% chance they do. That's all they know. Oh, wow. Y'all pray for prophet, and we're going to go over there. Amen. Try to pray the Lord to save them. Most top adults do something if they're going to get the rest of their life. But what am I going to save them? Change your life. I'll tell you what, Bob. Might make them the next great evangelist, the next great pastor, the next great missionary. There's no telling what God might do. So y'all pray for the Mock family, amen. It's we're on deputation, raising support. And again, it is good to be here. Amen. Alabama won, so I know y'all pretty happy about that, amen. I'm a Georgia fan myself, so I was pretty happy about it, amen. My wife's from Tennessee, and so we was in there last night, and they got about discouraged in the second half, amen. So pray for her. I think she's still dealing with that a little bit. Amen. Oh, amen. Well, I'll quit, man. You got your Bible for me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're turning there, I got some prayer cards. Grab a prayer card. Pray for us, amen. We meet. Make you feel like I said, my wife needs to pray extra for her. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And a good place to hang it, amen, is where we go the most, amen, to the refrigerator. Amen. So every time you go to the refrigerator to get a snack, amen, see us on there, pray for us, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. If you're willing, neighbor, would you stand for the reading of God's word in reverence? I'll read a few verses here. We'll pray and you can be seated. Verse number nine says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Can I say and stop right here for a second and say, if we stop here and we read no further, and we'll say there's no more to read. How sad of a day that is for its making. Thank God for our Bible. Stop. Man, it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to come to your house here this morning.
And God, I pray that you to show up in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for filling your spirit already in the singing. Lord, I pray, Lord, you be in the remainder of this service, Lord, and have your will, have your way. Lord, we're needy people, God. We need you. Oh, my, we need you so much. Lord, and I pray if there's anything in my life that may hinder this service, God, I pray that you cleanse me. Oh, God, forgive me. Lord, I don't want to be a stumbling block, God. I want to be a help. God, I pray I'll just be a mouthpiece for you, Lord. Help us, Lord, this morning. Lord, there's someone lost here. Don't know you in the free forgiveness of sin. Lord, I ask and pray, oh, God, you'd save them. First everlasting, too late, Lord. We love you and we thank you for everything you've done for us. I pray that you would come down, Lord, and manifest yourself here just for a little while amongst your people. Lord, I pray that you touch every heart and give them what they stand in need of. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for staying. Verse number 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Can I say we've all done something in this passage of Scripture? We've all been guilty of something here. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not really sinned. I've not really done anything wrong. I'm a good person." Well, let's just go through this right quick. It says, neither fornicators. You say, "Well, I'm not a fornicator." That's good. Nor idolatry. Amen. We've all been guilty of idolatry in our life. I was messing around earlier talking about football and a lot of people's lives, friend. You can't even mention that in a church service without somebody getting offended and wanting to quench the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some people idolize sports and these things. Some of the idolatry, if we're not careful in our lives, amen, we've all been guilty of this one thing. It says, nor adultery. You say, "Well, I'm not an adulterer." Or you say, "Well, okay, let's go to nor effeminate." Can I say that's where America's at? Amen. Men not being men. Amen. I'm talking about some men have better nails than women do. Amen. Take care of their nails and they've never seen dirt, friend. They never sweated. Amen. They never got out there and just got to work and got to and just be a man. Amen. We're living in an effeminate generation. Somebody say amen right there? Amen. Very effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves of mankind. Can I say, if you want to talk about America and one thing, we have run rampant, friend, to homosexuality. I still believe that it's between one man and one woman. Amen. God created male and female two genders. Amen. Created he them. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I believe it's between Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. Amen. Amen. It's still right to be right. Amen. It says, nor thieves. Has anybody ever stolen anything before? Anybody? Am I the only one? Nobody's willing to say this. Hey, ladies, watch your purses. It's him. Amen. Stealer. Amen. We've all stole some things. Some of y'all, it's probably, as you were growing up, you stole your cousin's toys. Amen. It's still in your basement today. Amen. Never gave them back. There's no telling what it is. Amen. We've all stole some things. I remember as a young person, still pretty young, but as when I was about 8 years old, I stole a piece of bubblegum. I wanted some gum. Had to go back in there and apologize, say, "Well, I didn't mean to do that." We've all stole some things, my Lord. Sure. Amen. It says, more covetous. How many of y'all have wanted something that wasn't urged, desired? I had a 1997 Toyota Tacoma, amen, growing up. Had 250-something thousand miles on it when I got it. And that check engine light come on about, looked like a Christmas tree every. I had Christmas almost every day, it felt like, amen. The lights come on, and my buddy got a brand new Silverado, big old Silverado. And I said, "Man, I want that truck, amen." We've all desired some things. Some people might have been a bass boat. Anybody like fishing around here? New rifle. It could be something, amen. We've all desired some things in our life that wasn't ours. It says, nor drunkards. I pray we ain't got no drunkards in here this morning. You never know in Baptist churches nowadays. Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So can I just say, can we realize here amongst ourselves we're all just a bunch of sinners? We've all been guilty of something. We've done something in our lives. We transgressed the law of God. And the Bible says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. If you have offended one of these laws, you're guilty of all of them. Amen. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So we can just recognize this morning that we're all sinners. Amen. You know what that means? I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. Amen. We're all just in the same boat. Amen. We're just sinners. But verse number 11 here, that'd have been a sad story if we stopped there. Verse number 11 says, and such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. That cleansing, that washing, you're sanctified. I believe in progressive sanctification. That means basically, hey, I'm not what I used to be, amen. I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not everything that I need to be. But one day I'm going to be, amen. We're striving, amen. We're striving to be like Christ, to be more like Him. We're not. We will never be perfect, but we're striving for perfection. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That justification, that simply means just as I've never sinned. Clean, amen, in the eyes of God. I just want to preach on a little thought this morning on blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Can I say, number one, if you're taking notes, I got a past that's forgiven. Amen, a past that's forgiven. It says, and such were some of you. Thank God for our King James Bible, amen, the way that it's worded, amen, the verbiage that is used, amen. That word right there says, were some of you. Thank God that's past tense, amen. Thank God I ain't what I used to be, amen. At the age of 12, I got into trouble with the law, amen. Got a couple felonies against me. Amen. I was just hanging out with some kids are just dumb. Amen. I was a dumb kid. Amen. I'm still pretty dumb. Amen. If you ask my wife. But I was just doing bad things. Amen. I'll tell you, I got in trouble with the law. I had a couple of felonies against me and criminal trespassing, criminal damage to property. And I had a bunch of misdemeanors was added up to another felony. And I got in trouble and they called us and I remember going to that courtroom. They said, all right, you're going to get 10 years probation. You're going to go through, do this community service. You're going to pay these fines. And the time went on. And I said, all right, I did the community service. And somebody paid them fines. I sure didn't. I was too young. Amen. But somebody paid them. And so as time went on, at the age of 14, I kept getting in trouble in school and I kept doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. And at the age of 14, they told me, they said, you can't go to this school anymore. We can't handle you. I was cussing out teachers. I mean, I was doing all kind of, I was just a disruption, amen. I was just somebody who was just, I tried to get attention and I was just always in trouble. I was just a pest is what I was. And the principal looked at me and says, all right, he says, you're going to have to go to this alternative school. You can't go here anymore. And I said, okay. I went to that alternative school, and I wasn't there too long, probably a couple weeks. And a boy came up. I used to love to cuss. I used to love to fight. And the boy came up, started running his mouth to me. And we began to argue and to cuss at each other. And the teacher come and tried to break it up, and then I started cussing her out, and then I went and said, they took the thing through the office, and they said, all right, you need to settle down. I started cussing out the principal. Just a filthy mess. Nobody could control me. The court system said I was just unruly. They suspended me from school, and at the time, I didn't know that it was against my... It was a violation against my probation. Here I am at 14 years old on probation for 10 years. I was supposed to get off when I was 22. Come home. I went to live with my aunt. Because they told my mother, they said, we're just going to try to put him with somebody else to see if it'll just be a better, somebody can get in his head and make him realize that he don't need to do these things. Went to live with my aunt, and I came home after getting suspended. And they called my aunt. They said, hey, we need him to come up here and sign some paperwork. And I said, okay. So we hopped in the car. We headed to the courthouse. I got in there, and they said, all right, we're going to put you in a holding cell here just to scare you a little bit. I said, okay. I wasn't scared enough, or so I thought. I thought nothing. Nobody scared me. Nothing that happened could scare me. I thought I was a man. I go in there and I They put me in the holding cell. They chained me up. They chained me to the bench there, and I got my legs cuffed and my hands cuffed. And it seemed like I was in there forever. They put me in there with another guy, and I asked the other guy over there, I said, what are you in here for? He said, oh, why? He said, I threatened to shoot up the school and to blow it up. And I said, well, my goodness, they done put me in here with a maniac. I was sitting there, and as time went on, it seemed like it was hours upon hours upon hours. And finally an officer comes, and he opens it up, and he says, all right, boys, you're coming with me. And I said, where are we going? He said, you're going to the Sandersville Detention Center. I said, hold on a minute, you got the wrong guy. How many of y'all heard that before, somebody say that? He says, your name Jacob Mock? And I said, yes, it is. He said, well, you come with me. It was about a 2.5-hour drive. We drove down there to Sandersville, Georgia. And it seemed like it was the longest drive of my life. And I get in there, I go through process, and they put me in there in the one-man cell. Just me. I get in there, and I didn't grow up in church. I grew up in a broken home. My dad wasn't there. I didn't go to church and go to church functions. And can I stop and say this? If you're in church, and if all you knew is church, amen, and your parents took you to church and drug you to church, amen, I'll tell you, you ought to be so thankful. You ought to rejoice at the simple fact that somebody cared about you enough, friend, to say, hey, we're going to church. And it wasn't an option. I get in there, and I said, well, I heard somebody say one time, I don't know where I heard it, I still don't know to this day, but someone in my mind said, when you get in a bad way, just pray. I said, well, we're going to try this. I remember I knelt down there. I said, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do better. I had no intentions of keeping that. I was wanting to use the Lord as a Make-A-Wish Foundation to get my one wish and get me out of here. And I was going to do the same exact things that I was accustomed to doing, hanging out with the same people, doing the same things. Time went on, and I finally got out. And I come out. I remember clear as day. I come out, and I was in handcuffs. And I could see the courtroom. And my uncle's there. I didn't see my dad's family much. Maybe once a year, Christmas time. You know, we got to get them presents from every side of the family. I came out. I know it's a little different this morning, but it's what God told me to do. I came out. They said, all right, you got two choices. You can either go into the foster care system or you can go live with your uncle. I said, well, I'm at least going to somebody I know, so I choose him. And I heard he's got all the money anyways. Amen. I thought I was going to be living it up. Four-wheelers and going everywhere and doing everything. Well, turns out he wasn't as rich as I thought he was. Amen. But little did I know at that time, amen, he was a deacon and a preacher at the church. That was a Monday afternoon. It was Wednesday night, the same week. First time in an independent, fundamental, King James, I'm talking about hellfire and brimstone, friend, heaven's sweet and hell's hot kind of church. Old-fashioned to the bone. Preacher began to preach on hell, and the Holy Ghost started dealing with my heart. And I knew right then and there that I was going to go to hell if I died. And I began to weep, and I began to cry. It was the altar time, and they gave the altar call, and I began to cry, and a man come up, and he says, hey, you want to go pray? And I said, no. And I pushed it off. And I pushed it off. Finally ended that service, got out of there, and I was like, phew, that's over. Thank God. I ain't got to deal with that no more. Well, it followed me home. Thank God the Holy Ghost don't leave you alone. Amen. And I was miserable. I was so miserable. My uncle comes to me and says, hey, we're going to have our camp here in a few weeks, our church camp. And he said, you're going to go to it? And I said, no, I ain't. I ain't doing it. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I ain't. that rebellion inside of me. Nobody could tell me what to do. Well, as time went on and the day arrived, guess what? I went. Amen. That's the way that goes. And it was about 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock on that Thursday afternoon, June 21st, 2012. Remember, clear as day. They didn't put me with the younger kids my age, the 14-year-olds, and I think it was 16 and down. They put me with the 17-year-olds and up because they said, well, he might say something. I didn't know this at the time, but he might say something or do something we don't want them young kids to hear or to know about. So they put me with the older kids, and we went in there, and it was cabin number 2. And we all went on the back porch there, and it was an enclosed back porch, and it was a 2-story cabin in the middle of Demorest, Georgia. They began to talk about how the Lord saved them. And how God, one boy started talking about, he said he was on drugs, and his mom and dad was on drugs, and his sister was on drugs, and how they were strung out on meth and all kind of things, and how God saved his mama and saved his daddy and saved him and his sister, and they had a household salvation. This one right here, he began to talk, and he would say, well, he says, I ain't like him. He says, I grew up in church my whole life. He says, I didn't taste of them things. I don't know what none of them things taste like or feel like. He says, and he said, I grew up on a pew my whole life, but I knew I was just as bad as he was. He says, and God saved me. And they kept rejoicing, and they began to talk about how God did this and God did that in their lives. And the Holy Ghost of God started coming. I finally just said, how do I get saved? God, that's how to get simple. He took me to a little bit of a long show. He was like, it's simple. He said, you got to take him at his word and believe what he said. He says, and repent. He told me by repentance, he says, and call out on the Lord. And he said, so why? That's simple. He says, it is. I sat there and they began to talk again and began to converse again about how God saved them and God changed their life and how God just did a miraculous work and how this one's called to preach now and how God's used him and this one, he's teaching Sunday school and this one's doing this and that. And I asked him again, I says, how do I get saved? How do I get saved? And he told me the same thing again. He says, you just got to take him at his word and believe in it. He said, call out on the Lord. Okay, and I began to sit there, and the Holy Ghost, I felt like my heart was beating out of my chest. I began to sit there, and I said, fellas, I'll be right back. I didn't tell them where I was going. And I went inside, and I went up that 2-story cabin, and I got on that top floor, and I knelt down to that twin-size bed, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what exactly to do, but I know that I'm lost, and I want you to save me. And I'm telling you, friend, as soon as I got up, I felt like a brand new man. I'm telling you, the weight of sin, the burden of sin, amen, was lifted off of me, amen. I felt like a skinny man for the first time in my life, hallelujah. Amen, I was cleansed, amen, I was forgiven, and God saved me right there. I ran downstairs, and I went outside to the back porch, and I looked at them boys. I said, I just got saved. They began to shout and rejoice and to rejoice with me. They said, did you tell preacher? I said, we really went inside the preacher and went in there, and they said, hey, tell them what happened to you. I said, I just got saved. He began to rejoice and to praise the Lord and shout for a little while. Say, by 5 o'clock now, was going down to eat. I didn't know to call him by brother, pastor, preacher. I didn't grow up in church, friend. I just looked at him and I said, Tracy? He's like, yes, sir. He said, I'm not angry anymore. Holy Ghost of God in the ground. I didn't know to say that, friend. That was a Holy Ghost of God living inside of me. I just knew, amen, that I wasn't angry anymore. I hated the world. I hated everybody. I hated everything to do with anybody. I was a hateful person. I was mean. I was cruel. I was a bully. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God took all that away. Number one, I got it. If I say this, you might go to the building before them.
where I grew up, you can might get in there.
You somehow get in there. They say the records are sealed because I was a juvenile, that you can't see them records. They're sealed up. But if there's some way you can get some special access, if you know somebody high up, friend, if you can get in there and you can see, and you get in there and you start looking, you say, all right, these are all the things that he committed. And I was guilty of that. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes, friend, I don't know about you, that devil will come in my ear and he'll begin to whisper to me and tell me things like, who do you think you are telling people about Jesus? Who do you think you are doing them things? You're not good enough. You're just a nobody. You're just, you know, the things that you did, and it haunts my mind. And sometimes, and you know what, I start listening to the devil. I might be the only one, but I do. I say, devil, you're right. You know, I just don't know. I shouldn't be doing this, and I shouldn't be doing that. I don't deserve that. And I said, well, let's go to God about this. And I go to God, and I say, Lord, do you remember them things I did and all these things? And I can't do this now because of what I used to be and what I used to do. And I keep talking to him, trying to tell him, Lord, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And he simply looks at me and just says, what sins are you talking about? Hey, man. They're gone. They're forgiven. The Bible says that He has chose not to remember our sins anymore. Can I say, friend, it's not a slipping of the mind. It's not dementia. It's not Alzheimer's. Amen. It's the fact that He looked at our sin and He said, chose not to remember it anymore. Some of us ought to rejoice at that fact. Some of us might have been in some bad places, might have done some bad things you can't tell nobody about, and you'll be ashamed to tell somebody about. But our Lord and Savior, amen, our God in heaven, amen, doesn't remember them anymore. Clean. It's like going to the Walmart, getting you a pack of Hanes t-shirts and opening it up, friend. It's white as snow. Clean. I'm a Fruit of Loom guy myself, amen. Clean. White as snow. So no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what the devil tells you, that you're not good enough and you don't deserve it, you have to probably look at him and say, you're right, devil. I don't deserve it. The only thing that I deserve is hell. But His mercy and His grace, amen, came by my way and He saved my soul. And I'm worthy because He's worthy, amen. I'm made righteous because of His righteousness, amen. My righteousness is His filthy rags, amen. But His righteousness, amen, makes me redeemed, amen. Makes me okay. Makes me clean, amen. That washing, which you're washed. Clean. Some of us have passed this morning. I don't know you. Most of you. Most of y'all don't know me. But I dare to say this morning, there's somebody here may say, well, I've done this. Now, I'd never want nobody else to know. Well, guess what, friend? In the eyes of God, if you're saved, He don't remember it neither. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one, my past is forgiven. Number two, can I say this? My portion's been full. God saved me, changed my life. Called me to preach His word. Done so much for me. Have people ask me, what kind of man are you? A glass half empty or glass half full kind of guy? I just simply have to look at them and say, neither, friend. I'm just a full type of guy. Amen. Most of the time, can I say my cup runneth over? He's been so good to His people. Amen. We got shoes on our feet. Amen. Old songwriter said, there's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me Your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Portion control. Can I say this? Number three, hit that real quick. I promise you. You say, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know the things that I'm going through. And you're right. I don't. You don't know what it's like when they come in there and say, you got cancer. There's nothing we can do. And I say, you're right about that. I don't know. when you lost somebody very significant to you, I'm talking about near and dear to your heart, I probably have to say you're right. Can I say this? In retrospect of the world, friend, in retrospect of the world, we've got it all. The world might have the fancy cars, they might have the big houses, they may have the big bank accounts. And I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, we'll start thinking, well, we really ain't got a lot, but can I tell you something? We got something they don't have. His name's Jesus. Amen. They might have the cars, but we got Jesus. They might have the houses, but we got Jesus. They might have the big bank accounts, yeah, but we got Jesus, amen. We got Him, amen. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. Amen. He owns it all, friend, and we got it all through Him, amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing impossible with our God. He can do anything He wants to do. I'm telling you, it's endless possibilities with our Savior, amen. The problems have been few. Sure, it seems like, you say, preacher, well, it seems like when the world, I'm trying to do right, and it seems like I'm taking two steps forward, but then I'm taking 10 steps backwards every time I try to live right, and I try to do right, and I try to do everything that I'm supposed to do. It seems like the opposition of the devil in the world itself, he's just pressing against me, and waves will come, and they dash against me constantly, and it seems like I can never catch a break. I've been there. When you sit there and you say, why, Lord? Why am I going through this? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to give my life to you and just serve you with my whole heart. Problem after problem. I got something living inside of me. You know what? When I go to sleep every night and I put my head to my pillow, I don't have to worry about a place called hell. I got joy unspeakable and peace. Oh, blessed peace, amen, that passeth all understanding. Yeah, I might not know what's going to come on tomorrow. I might not know what's going to come down the road, friend, but I got Him, and that's all that matters to me, amen. I know the Bible says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If we take that verse for what it is, that it's split up into two parts. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and we've been guilty of saying God has been good and He has done these things. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That's past tense. But if you break that verse up, or it said, nor his seed begging bread. What's that mean? That means we're going to be A-okay, friend. God's going to take care of His children from now till He comes back to get us. Amen. We're never going to be without nothing. Amen. He'll take care of us because He's our God. Why would He save us and just leave us to rot? Our problems have been few. Nobody complained more in the Scriptures than the children of Israel. God's chosen people. They was in the wilderness and they complained about this, they complained about that. God would give it to them. They start complaining about that. God would give it to what they wanted. So, preacher, I don't have it all. Yeah, we might not. But we got Jesus. We got Him. Such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. That justification, it's one of my favorite things, just because I've never seen you. Can I say this? Got a past that's forgiven. My portion has been full. My problems have been few. Can I say this? Number four, I got a perfect future. Old songwriter said, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. It's my favorite part. Then He takes me by the hand, and He leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Can I say heaven's gonna fix it all? No more sin. No more sorrow. No more separation. Amen. Some of us might got some loved ones waiting on the other side for us. Amen. No more separation. That's going to be a glad reunion day for most of us. Amen. Glad reunion day. No more sickness. No more doctor's visits. Amen. No more insurance prices through the roof and co-insurance and deductibles and all that. Amen. No more coffins. No more inflation. Amen. We'll be on God's economy, friend. You know, when we get to heaven, the cheapest thing in heaven is gold. And that's what we're going to be walking on. Heaven's going to fix it all. I got a perfect future waiting on me. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you do too. Because heaven will fix it all, friend. I've heard a lot of people say, well, when I get to heaven, I want to go see Paul, and I want to go see John the Baptist, and I want to go see Peter, and I want to go see all these people, and Joseph, and all these people. I say, hey, you know what? You can have at it, friend. You can go see them all you want to, but honey, you better get out of my way, friend, because I'm going to go see Jesus. Amen. I'm going to go see Him, amen, the one that bled for me, the one that died for me and gave His life for me, amen. I want to go see Jesus. One day, our faith becomes silent. We'll be able to see Him. He won't be in the crucified form, amen. We've never seen Him, amen, but one day we're going to, and what a day that's going to be. You know, I was in a meeting not too long ago, and if you ever been to a camp meeting, they have like 100,000 services a day throughout the week, amen. It was getting towards the end of the week, and I was sitting there, and I was like, we're standing there, and we sang in a congregational. And I was sitting there like, man, my feet are hurting. My back's hurting. I sat there and started to think, one day that's not going to be so. One day when we get to heaven, our feet's not going to get tired. Our body's not going to ache. We'll be able to sing. We'll be able to worship throughout eternity forever. Amen. Without our throats giving out, we'll be able to sing to the top of our lungs. Amen. And we'll be all in tune then. Amen. There won't be no more flats and no more people tone deaf. Amen. I believe we'll all be on the same tune. Heaven's going to fix it all. I thank God I got that assurance this morning. It says in the latter part of verse number 11, it says, and by the Spirit of our God. I sure am thankful for the day when it just wasn't my uncle's religion. He was the deacon. He was the preacher. I'm glad for the day that it wasn't just somebody else's God. The pastor's God, the preacher's God. But it became my God. It became personal. And can I say this? You can have a head knowledge. You go to church, you know about Jonah in the belly of the whale. You know about David and Goliath. You know about Jesus. But it's got to have a heart knowledge. 8 inches is the difference between someone dying and going to hell and going to heaven. Between here to here. God's been good to His people. Amen. I'm closing here. Sis, you want to come just play something soft on the piano? I preached all that this morning. A little bit of my testimony, what God saved me from. And some of us might have a past in our lives. And if you're saved, amen, it's forgot about. It's cleansed. I preached that from a saved man's perspective with some of the things that God's done. Past is forgiven. My portion's been full. My prize has been few. One day I'm going to have a perfect future. But can I say lastly, if you're not saved this morning, you'll perish forever. Hell's real. There's been more people I'll say this, 70, back in the 70s, there was a Southern Baptist did a study back when they were still somewhat okay. They sent out this to the congregation, this little, just asked a few questions about salvation, and they knew that they were saved. They got that back and it blew their minds. 70% of the church was lost, is what the conclusion came to. Can I say this? I'm not trying to scare you this morning or make you doubt, but that's something you better know. You better know, friend, because you don't want to die and go to hell. The Bible talks about hell. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what makes it so bad? Right now, you still have an opportunity. There's still hope. But when you die and you've not accepted Him, there is no hope. You will eternally be in hell. Torment. Eternally separated from God. Amen? Sis, you just want to play something, so I'm going to do the invitation.